It's Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jacket. Very excited to say on the show with us tonight, we have Mr. Dave Ellefson of Megadeth. How are you?
Hey, Jackie. How you doing?
Good. Great to have you on the show. And, I mean, man, we have so much to talk about. You have a lot going on in your world.
I do. I'm blessed to be busy. I always remind myself I get to do all these things. Otherwise, if you look at it with the glass half empty, you're like, oh my God, my plate is so full. I can't believe all the stuff I have to do. But yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I think probably for all of us who have, you know, grown up in this business and the industry and we've watched it change as much as it has, the fact that we still get to be in it and do something we like around people we like and with our fans, and you know, we are of the blessed for sure.
Well, let's start with talking about the new Inside Metal documentary. It's about an important place and time in your life. Looking back, what was that scene like for you, being a young kid from Minnesota?
God, you know, I grew up in, like you say, grew up in a farm in Minnesota. I don't know, it was around 1981-ish, I think. I was rehearsing with my band in a farm building, like a grain building. And it was like a Saturday afternoon, and the thought just hit me, I got to get to L.A. I mean, out of nowhere, just this thought came to me. And honestly, I just followed that thread. I was ready to go tell my parents I'm quitting school, I'm moving to L.A. tomorrow, which I think I did, actually. And I think they laughed. And they said, yeah, you're getting your high school education. But literally 2 years later, when I graduated in 1983, I had made the plan. And fortunately, my parents supported me. You know, they helped me get out to L.A. With a little bit of money and the family van and a little credit card. The credit card, which would later go on to finance the Killing Is My Business tour, unfortunately. But, you know, when I got there, I mean, talk about a 180-degree turn from where I grew up in Minnesota. But, you know, I noticed leading up to that, and I think part of what the instinct that I had on it is, you know, certainly Van Halen had come from the West Coast and had blown up to become a big band. Now Ozzy Osbourne was getting his musicians out of L.A. with Randy Rhoads, Rudy Sarzo, and by the time I got there, Quiet Riot was number one on the charts and all over MTV, and Motley Crue had just played the US Festival. So all of these huge shifts were happening in Los Angeles. And when I got there, within a week, as a lot of people know the story, my upstairs neighbor was Dave Mustaine, who was recently formerly of Metallica. And I had not heard of Metallica before, being in the Midwest. News traveled very slowly, usually by way of, you know, Circus Magazine, Hip Raider Magazine, a lot of big print magazines. So as I met Dave and got to know him and started talking, and there was this whole other scene that was starting, and certainly he was there on the downbeat of that with Metallica. And, you know, it was interesting because as we talked about music, you know, I knew some of the bigger, more mainstream bands, Def Leppard, Iron Maiden, a lot of these new wave of British heavy metal groups. But then there was a second wave of Diamond Head, Motorhead, Tigers of Pantang, Tank, you know, all this kind of stuff that was coming over from Europe. And that really was kind of the real underground of that scene that inspired what would become the thrash scene. And this movie really speaks to the importance of Los Angeles and how many great musicians and bands came out of Los Angeles, even though LA never really got the credit for its contribution to thrash.
Dave Ellefson of Megadeth with us on the show tonight. It's Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. Whiplash on KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Dave Ellefson of Megadeth is my guest on the show tonight. We're talking about the Inside Metal Rise of LA Thrash Metal DVD, which you narrate. What's the most surreal thing about narrating a documentary that's about your peers and friends and yourself?
You know, I think what's so weird about it is they send you the script because, you know, Bob Nalbandian, who has been a longtime friend, and in fact, quite honestly, he was one of the first people I met when I got to Los Angeles, you know, through Dave, because he really was just really there as a fan and with a fanzine. So when he tapped all of us to participate in his film, a lot of the segments had been filmed, and then he sent me the script, in which I did at the studio here in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I live. So, of course, I knew the storyline, but, you know, then to see how my narration fits in with all the cuts of, you know, people like even myself being interviewed in the film, and you know, Lars and Juan Garcia, who was in Abattoir, now plays in Body Count. So yeah, it was kind of interesting to see. And then Metallica and Megadeth, you know, speaking about, you know, my own band Megadeth in the film, you know, using my best James Earl Jones, you know, and, narrating film. But you know, it was kind of educational, actually, even doing the narration, because you know, you learn things about, it's kind of like making a record, you know, you learn more about your buddies in the band as you're working with them in the studio. And I think the same thing happened with the narration process.
Dave Ellefson of Megadeth with us. We're talking about the Rise of LA Thrash Metal documentary, which is out now. I'll have a copy to give away later on in the show. We've got Black Label Society tickets to give away, music from Korn, Pantera, and more with Dave Ellefson. It's Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. Full Metal Jackie, we've got Dave Ellefson of Megadeth on the show with us tonight. And being a founding member of Megadeth, you were right in the middle of the thrash scene. You were there. So what came as a surprise to you, something you never knew until you narrated the Rise of LA Thrash Metal documentary?
You know, probably there was a handful of different people, you know, some different people that were there. You know, I knew of Brian Slagle with Metal Blade. I knew of his importance. In fact, you know, he was kind of the guy in LA. Johnny Z with Megaforce was on the East Coast, and of course Combat, who you know, Megadeth would later sign with, you know, East Coast label. And I knew a lot of the, you know, a lot of the people, you know, Kate from Hyrax. You know, I knew of Armored Saint, of course. They were not really a thrash band, but they were kind of friends of the thrash scene. And I think probably what was you know, I think probably the most educational thing I saw watching the film was Marty Friedman's explanation of it. And I knew a lot of it because, of course, I played the band with him for 10 years. And, you know, we had many conversations about this. But just to sit back as a sort of a viewer of the film and watch him detail him living in Hawaii, forming Hawaii, referencing a lot of the jazz musicians who are getting the notoriety for being sort of the very astute and progressive musicians. But yet, you know, him talking about how this thrash scene was raising up this whole generation of very, very capable and terrifically talented guitar players and musicians. So I'd say that was one of them. You know, maybe narrating, I think probably, you know, just kind of remembering the sort of the dichotomy of Los Angeles and say, you know, San Francisco had Metallica, Death Angel, Testament, Exodus, you know, even though Metallica originally hailed out of Los Angeles, which I knew, but, you know, it kind of really hit me just how the scene, you know, was so kind of divided between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And I think that if any, I don't know that it was so much of a revelation as it was just kind of a reminder of that.
Dave Ellefson of Megadeth with us. It's Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. It's Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Dave Ellefson of Megadeth is my guest on the show tonight. The Rise of LA Thrash Metal documents an upstart style of music that became very popular and extremely influential. What would have surprised you then about what would become of everything, all of what you were building?
Well, what I remember even in the day was that, you know, the bands that were around us in Los Angeles, you know, Wasp, Rat, Quiet Riot, Motley Crue, you know, these were bands, their tempos were slower. They were kind of more traditional verse chorus type of song structures. And it made it work really well in the radio. So stations like KLOS and even KMET when they had their metal hour. And I remember KMET and KLOS, they were the two stations that we listened to. Even me and Dave, as we would drive around in my van around Los Angeles, taking care of Megadeth band business, you know, we would, you know, with those are the two stations we listened to, you know, and I learned a lot of my own musical education, about things, that were, you know, that were, well, especially KLOS, which sometimes tended to play a little more to what we would probably call today classic rock. So to hear all these things sort of during the day on mainstream radio, if you will, and then to go into the rehearsal room with Megadeth is, in particular, like when Kerry King started playing with us, when he filled in on guitar for the very first Megadeth shows, you know, to see that, you know, Kerry thought like me and Dave. I mean, we were like a band of brothers, and it was interesting how, you know, the music we liked, the way we approached our guitars, we've all played BC Ridge guitars. We had the same kind of guitar. You know, our hair was all the same length. So it's just amazing, like, this whole world of people that we all thought very much the same. And I think probably to a large degree, you know, Iron Maiden was probably, you know, kind of the big reigning hero to us, because Iron Maiden played a very progressive music, but it was also very much metal. It wasn't very, you know, wasn't really super, you know, kind of glitzy kind of metal. Yet they were a very big band. There's always this sort of this dichotomy of what we were doing in thrash music. And it's funny because it wasn't called thrash then. I forgot at some point a journalist somewhere called us thrash metal, and that that title stuck, and now we're known as thrash metal.
Dave Ellefson of Megadeth on the show with us tonight. He narrated the Rise of LA Thrash documentary, which is out now. And coming up, I'll be giving away a copy of it, and also Dave will pick music. It's Full Metal Jackie, Dave Ellefson with us. He narrates the Inside Metal Rise of LA Thrash Metal documentary. And Dave, tell us what's to come this year with Megadeth.
We have a pretty full, robust summer of festivals over in Europe. It looks to be starting. There's some things, it looks like early May, down in Mexico with the Hell and Heaven Fest. And then we'll be early June, pretty much through most of July, we'll be over in Europe doing festivals. And it's, you know, it's funny because we're at this phase in our career right now where, you know, normally we would sort of come off of a big tour like Dystopia for 2 years. We'd shut down. We'd take a year to go in and make a record. And then we'd, you know, put that new record out. And then we'd go out and tour for another, you know, year or two behind that. But now I think where music is, because live music is such an important and critical part of just what we do as a band and in our industry. You know, now the phone just rings all the time. And it's, hey, we got an offer. Is Megadeth available? And so now our mindset is more of, certainly a focus on writing some new material. But I've watched over the, and I think kind of started when we did in 2010, we did our first anniversary tour, which was the 20th anniversary of Rust in Peace. And I saw in the front row, there were literally, you know, teenagers there. Who, you know, had just bought their, you know, Megadeth shirts, and, you know, probably were able to buy Megadeth shirts at Hot Topic and at the mall, whereas years ago you wouldn't have been able to do that, you know. And there was this whole new generation of fans. And what it made me realize is that, you know, lots of fans will get introduced to Megadeth through Dystopia, but then they very quickly go back and they start researching the history and the catalog of music that we have. And it's, there is something about those early records, and I think that plays to this movie, you know, The Rise of the LA Thrash Scene, that, you know, that there is something just very special about that moment in time. I think it's kind of like it's our Woodstock, if you will, you know, where people always kind of go back to these glory days of Hendrix and Zeppelin and Clapton, and of course, you know, Woodstock represented this huge moment in American music history. And, you know, so back in those early days and the origins of thrash and that really tie into the early days of the Megadeth music. And I think that it's some of the stuff that we created so many years ago that just keeps putting the fuel in the tank for us to keep moving forward now.
It's Whiplash on 95.5 KLOS with Motorhead. Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Dave Ellefson of Megadeth is my guest on the show tonight. We've been talking about the Rise of LA Thrash Metal documentary, which Dave narrated. And, you know, mentioned earlier, you got a lot going on in addition to this and Megadeth. Tell us about your involvement with Combat Records.
Well, Combat, we were very fortunate to have had a moment in time here where, through my label, EMP Label Group, we were able to secure secure the, you know, the title of that and relaunch it. And, you know, it's so cool because, you know, when it was first brought up to me, you know, Dave and I have many stories of our days with the original Combat that, you know, it was not easy, you know, and it was a lot of hard work. And of course there wasn't a lot of money there. It was just an independent, you know, label. And, you know, they did, you know, to their credit, they did help us, you know, launch the band, launch Megadeth. And then that helped us get, the attention of Capitol Records. And, you know, the rest is history after that. And that was really the point of the independent labels back in those days. I think when we relaunched Combat here, a couple of months ago, what was very apparent to me is how important that label and its roster of artists were to so many, like a couple of generations of people, my generation for sure, and then even kind of a generation or two behind that. You know, obviously Megadeth, Exodus, Circle Jerks, Merciful Fates. That's why when we relaunched it, we waited because we were looking to relaunch with a former Combat artist, now Combat artist again, Hellstar and Raven, as well as signing some new artists to, you know, to keep the, you know, new blood and keep the, you know, the growth of the label moving forward. So it's and just as much as a label, it's really a heavy metal lifestyle brand, you know. And I think that's the thing that's just as exciting, because, you know, it all starts with the music, but there's so many other opportunities to do some other things that I think just are some really good synergy with other branding opportunities for that label that are part of the heavy metal lifestyle.
Full Metal Jackie, Dave Ellefson with us. Check out the new Inside Metal, Rise of LA Thrash Metal documentary, and the releases come in on Combat Records. And do you have a timeline for new Megadeth?
You know, our goal this year is to be writing. You know, again, we have this month here these months in the summer where we're going to be on the road. And then if I had a guess, we'll be working, you know, really cutting some tracks, you know, later this year. I can't really say when it's going to be done. I mean, my mind just says 2019 maybe. But at the same time, you know, one of the things we learned with Dystopia is that we just took as much time as it needed to get the record done. And I think that really played well for the quality of record we made and for, you know, just how excited the fans were with the record that we made. And ultimately, that is the most important thing. So that's going to be more important than sort of boxing ourselves in with a schedule.
Got it. Awesome. Well, Dave, it was great to catch up with you, and thank you so much for being on the show, and I'll see you soon.
You're welcome, Jackie. See ya.
Full Metal Jackie, the Inside Metal, Rise of LA Thrash Metal documentary is out now, and I've got a copy to give away to caller 20 if you call us right now, 800-955-KLOS. Fraser Smith is up next. Hit me up.